to start off. There's always a really good turnout for Torah for today, our Torah discussion. You know, it really is a very good turnout. I'm very encouraged by it, and I know people are blessed by it. And we always have a great discussion. And I would encourage you that if you don't come out for it, that you should really think about coming out for Torah for today. Now, last week, we talked about the Torah portion Shemini. And there was a question that came up. And we're not on the right screen, and I can't advance it. So there was a question that came up out of actually the additional reading from Exodus 12. And the discussion was regarding Passover. And the verse in question was this. Exodus 12:48 says, "But if an outsider dwells with you, who would keep the Passover for Adonai? All his males must be circumcised. Then let him who draw near and keep it. He will be like one who is native to the land, but no uncircumcised person may eat from it. The same Torah applies to the native as well as the outsider who dwells among you." And the question was, when we have our congregational Seder, and there's still 1 week to purchase tickets, plug, can only those who are circumcised partake in the matzah or in the Seder even? I must admit, I wasn't fully prepared to answer that question in a full way. I made a brief joke about I'm not the one who's going to check the men coming in. We heard some other opinions. I gave a brief opinion of my own as well. And I said, let me look into it a little bit further and see what I see as I study and meditate about and pray about it. And as I was doing that during the week, I got a confirmation of my basic answer that I gave at that time. But I thought it was really interesting, some of the things that I read, and I thought it'd make a great message. So that's the one you're getting today. So you may hear the word circumcised a lot today. Now, there's a couple of questions floating around when you start asking this question. It's regarding the person and the circumcision, non-circumcision. Are we talking about a Jewish man only and his circumcision? Is the question about the Gentile who was living with them and wanted to partake in the Passover? And frankly, if we take the scriptures very literally, it excludes females because they just can't be circumcised. Sorry, ladies, it's true. Although I'm sure you're not sorry. All right, Exodus 12:48 can be looked at, and the question could be, can the uncircumcised eat the Passover? That's the basic question. Now, the problem that we're considering here is a few things. Does the question apply to the person, and if they're uncircumcised Jew or Gentile? Jewish or Gentile, are we asking the question about? Is it the Passover meal that we're talking about, the whole meal? Is it just the matzah that they can't partake in? Or perhaps, really, the question comes down to, is it the actual Pesach Korban, or the Passover sacrificed lamb that was sacrificed? Now, many limit the question to who can partake in the actual sacrificial lamb. And the Talmud concurs with that. They look at Exodus 12:45, which says this, if I can get my pointer in my hand. "Nor shall a visitor or hired servant eat it." Straightforward. The writers of the Talmud take this and say that it being spoken about is the actual lamb that was sacrificed, and that an uncircumcised non-Jew may keep the Seder and the festival of Passover, but they cannot eat from the actual Pesach sacrifice, the Korban, saying, he shall not eat of it, but he may eat unleavened bread, the bitter and the bitter herbs. They say that the Torah forbids a sojourner, a ger toshev, from eating of the Passover sacrifice. They define sojourner as a non-Jew who resides among the Jewish people, who has forsaken idolatry, abides by the law of Noah, the laws of Noah, worships the God of Israel, but has not undergone conversion to become Jewish. Now, they speak of conversion because they would have been converting to Judaism from paganism, multiple gods. So they wouldn't have converted to the one true God. We don't speak of conversion from, for example, Christianity or to Judaism or the other way around, because they're already worshiping the same God. So conversions are only when someone is coming to a new God, the God of Israel. They apply the prohibition directly to Gentile believers, and they believe it prohibits them from eating the Passover sacrifice, saying the Lord is incumbent upon Jews and Gentiles in Jerusalem while the temple and the priesthood were functioning. They say, quote, the Lord does not prohibit the God-fearing Gentile believers from participating in the other aspects of the festival, such as the matzah, bitter herbs, four cups, other Seder elements, and the 7 days of Passover, unquote. In the text from Exodus 12, we also see the word foreigner used. If we go back just a few verses or so in Exodus 12, we see this, Exodus 12:43. Then Adonai said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner may eat it, but every man's servant that is bought for money, after you have circumcised him, may eat it. The issue with having different people defining words is that people define words differently. It causes confusion, it causes disagreement, and there's really no way around people defining words the way they want. So some say that the word foreigner there refers to one who is not an Israelite, and that the exception to the Passover rule was that every man's slave purchased with money after you circumcise him may eat it. So if the Israelite is purchased as a slave, then that slave could celebrate Passover if he was circumcised. But here's where the confusion can happen when defining words. They say like the foreigner just mentioned. They say that the foreigner is a sojourner or a hired servant shall not eat of it. These people define sojourner as a person who was present among the Israelites but was not residing with them. A hired servant, similar to what we would call a day worker today, was an individual, presumably not an Israelite, who was hired to do a job for wages. So we see a second definition of a sojourner, which is correct. It's really up to you. Sounds strange, but pick a camp, stay in the camp. Pick a definition, stay in it, but then you have to make it clear to other people what it is that you're saying. So let's agree for today, at least, that a sojourner is someone who comes to stay for only a short time, but the foreigner is someone who stays to live and be like you. These are my definitions. The sojourner continues to sojourn, while the foreigner is from someplace originally, but is now from and living with you. And why is this important? Because it means that the foreigner wants to be a part of your community, while the sojourner is just passing through, and he's not going to change himself to be like you. He's not going to partake in your feasts and festivals the same way you would. He doesn't want to accept your God the way that you do. The idea of a slave being purchased indicates that they become a part of you, a foreigner, so to speak. And therefore, if they were to have their heart aligned with Adonai and circumcised, they could eat of it, the Passover. However, a sojourner who is here today and gone tomorrow, who did not accept the instructions of Adonai, he could not eat the Passover. The question you may ask is, and I hear it, you know, I hear it from here. You guys are asking it, so let me repeat it for you. If a slave is forced into circumcision, could he partake in the Passover? Right? That was your question. I have an answer. It's somewhere on this page. The answer is only if his heart was correct. Even if he's circumcised, he still has to have that correct heart, that aligned heart, in order to partake. Adonai really has set up in our minds a mindset that requires the circumcision of the flesh, but now wants us to know that the more important issue really is the circumcision of the heart. It's the heart that makes a Jew a Jew. But Rav Shaul, speaking of a real Jew, is having a circumcised heart. We see this in Romans. So if we go to Romans 2:25, Okay, I'm going to put that down for the day. Romans 2:25 says, circumcision is indeed worthwhile if you keep the Torah. But if you break the Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if uncircumcised keeps the righteous decrees of the Torah, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Shaul says that Adonai does not look at the flesh, but at the heart, which I guess is why women can partake in a Passover. She becomes just as righteous as a man because her heart is circumcised. Not because she's physically circumcised, right? That's physically impossible. But because she has a circumcised heart. This is true for women, and it's just as true for Gentiles. And Shaul says that those who are not physically circumcised, when they're following the decrees of Torah, are counted as circumcised. Meaning that someone who is circumcised of the heart is qualified to stand before Adonai as any other Jewish person. Then Shaul goes on further as we continue in Romans 2. Romans 2:27. Indeed, the one not circumcised physically who fulfills the Torah will judge you who, even with the written code and circumcision, break the Torah. For one is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision something visible in the flesh. Rather, The Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in spirit, not in letter. His praise is not from men, but from God. Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says that the Gentile who follows Torah will be in a more righteous place to judge the Jewish person who is both saying but not performing the acts of Torah and is circumcised. He says that the heart being circumcised is more important than the flesh being circumcised. And to hammer home the point, he says that it's the person who's following the spirit of the law and not the letter of the law that will gain the praise of Adonai. When Shaul says that circumcision is something not visible in the flesh, he's not removing the need for the Jewish male to be circumcised, but emphasizing the need for the heart to be circumcised in the Jewish person as well as for all people. Shaul wants you to hear that what he's saying, that the need is not for one thing, but for both in the Jewish male, but for the Gentile, the one is sufficient. This is similar to the scripture that states that the heart attitude is more important than the sacrifice, which doesn't negate the sacrificial requirements. Shaul wants us to see that circumcision of the heart is the priority, and it is seen by following the spirit of the law and not by trying to live out the letter of the law. Following the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law, makes you legalistic, not righteous. And legalism will make you uncircumcised. Obviously, Shaul does not mean that the flesh grows back if a Jewish man does not keep Torah instructions laid out in the Torah. Just as uncircumcision will not be, the uncircumcised will not be considered circumcised because the ruach cuts the flesh of the foreskin from his flesh, but because of the work that he does on the heart. We are not ever to think that the Brit Hadashah removes the Torah, the Tanakh, or its requirements from us. This kind of thinking is the same as a man who's climbing a ladder. As he climbs up one rung, he reaches down and he cuts it off. And then he climbs up a rung and he reaches down and he cuts it off. Well, what happens? Each time he cuts off a rung, he falls back to where he started. He makes no advancement. Cutting the Tanakh out from underneath does the same thing. If you think you're going to be climbing a ladder by cutting off the bottom, it doesn't work. If you think you can fully follow Scripture by ignoring the beginning, it doesn't work fully. As they cut off the rung below them, they just fall back to the same place. There's no advancement without retaining past instructions. Jeremiah had these instructions from Adonai for us. Jeremiah 9:23. But let one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. For I am Adonai who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these things I delight. It is a declaration of Adonai. Days are coming soon, declares Adonai, when I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, and Ammon's children, and Moab, and all that have cut the corners of their hair, that dwell in the wilderness. For all the nations are uncircumcised, but all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Jeremiah is quoting Adonai as saying that there will be those at the end of time that think they're circumcised, following the law, but are actually uncircumcised because they did not follow the spirit of the instructions of Adonai. If this is true, and it is, then the opposite is also true, I believe, that there will be those there at the end of times who are physically uncircumcised, but will be judged as circumcised because their heart is circumcised. Jeremiah also gives these instructions and warnings to the people of Israel a little earlier in his book, Jeremiah 4:3. Thus says Adonai to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourself to Adonai and remove the foreskin of your heart. Men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, else my wrath will break out like fire and blaze, with no one to quench it because of your evil deeds. He tells the people of Israel to circumcise yourselves. But they would have already been circumcised. So how? He goes on to explain the difference between the circumcision that they already had and the one that Adonai really wanted for them. He says to remove the foreskins of your heart, to start following the Ruach and not the legalistic strictness of the law. Again, he does not say stop following the instructions of the Torah, but stop being legalistic. You can almost see that it was the foreskin of the heart that was hardening it. And that when removed, the heart was softened and changed from stone into flesh. It's as if the foreskin was the stony cover over that heart of flesh. If you don't do, or if you don't allow the foreskin of your heart to be removed, then his wrath will break out against you, it says. Or in other words, you will be cut off from your people and from Adonai. This is the word that came to Abraham from Adonai in Genesis as well. I want to look at Genesis 17. I'm going to read from 9 to 11, and then I'm going to skip down to 14. Genesis 17, 9. God said to Abraham, as for you, my covenant you must keep, you and your seed after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant you must keep between me and you and your seed after you. All your males must be circumcised. You must be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and this will become a sign of the covenant between me and you. Skip down to 14. But the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person will be cut off from the people. He has broken my covenant. Now, this passage says that the flesh is to be circumcised, and if not, the person's to be cut off from the people. But this instruction can't stand alone. It has to agree with all the other scriptures, right? All scripture must agree. It can't be contrary, whether it comes from the Tanakh or the Brit Hadashah. It all has to agree. So, with that in mind, look what Yeshua says in Matthew 18, starting in 18:15. Now, if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault while you're with him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen, take with you one or two more, so that by word of mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may stand. But if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to Messiah's community. And if he refuses to listen even to Messiah's community, then let him be to you as a pagan and a tax collector. In other words, cut him off. Yeshua doesn't say to look at the man's flesh, but at the fruit of his heart to determine if he should be put out. Adonai looks at the heart to decide, but we can't look at a person's heart. We can't even look at our own heart and know for sure where we are and whether we, how to determine whether our heart is in right. So we do the next best thing. We look at the fruit of his heart or our own heart. We don't look at the flesh that determine in and out, but as best we can, we look at the heart and the fruit of the heart. The important thing that Adonai wants us to focus on is not what is done by the hand of man, but by the Ruach. Shaul says this in the writings to the Colossians, in Colossians 2:11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not done by hand. It is the stripping away of the body of the flesh through the circumcision of Messiah. Shaul says that Yeshua has circumcised the heart of those who follow after him, and that it is not done by the hand of men. And who was Shaul speaking about? The Jew or the Gentile? Let's look at the verse in Numbers to try to clarify that question. Numbers 9:14. If an outsider living among you would celebrate Passover to Adonai according to the requirement, so he should do. There will be for you the same regulation for the outsider and the native of the land. The same instruction for both means that for both the Jew and the Gentile, the heart attitude is better than the sacrifice, and the heart circumcision is better than the flesh circumcision. For us, the meaning behind this is important. If we are to say that the circumcision and the physical must be done before the Gentile in the camp of Adonai can partake in the Passover, then we're all about acts. We're all about the action of men over the faith that men have. Anytime we say we have to go and do something physical before obtaining the benefits of Adonai, we become endangered of being works dependent. Adonai speaks of the physical when trying to convey a spiritual meaning to us. Look at the example that when Yeshua spoke to his disciples, what they heard versus what he was speaking. Matthew 16:5. Now when the disciples came to the other side of the sea, they had forgotten to take bread. Watch out, Yeshua said to them. Be aware of the hummus of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began to discuss among themselves, saying, we didn't bring any bread. But knowing this, Yeshua said, O you of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? You still don't get it. Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets of leftovers you gathered? Or how many the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and all the baskets of leftovers you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I wasn't talking to you about bread? Now beware of the hummus of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he wasn't talking about the hummus and the bread, but about the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Yeshua wasn't talking about the yeast of the bread, which is the physical, but the teachings of Adonai were about the spiritual. Adonai, being Yeshua, does the same thing. It was not a learned behavior that Yeshua received after he came to earth. He talks about the physical so that we'll understand better the spiritual. So, I found the question of circumcision and the Passover to be interesting because it comes down to this question in my mind. Is Adonai all-inclusive? I believe, of course, Adonai is inclusive, all-inclusive. Now, men are naturally non-inclusive. We have cliques, we have groups, we have clubs. And we, you know, it's only for us. It's not for them. You can't come into this club. How often do we, you know, it's just, I have to look after me. I have to look after us. It's only us four and no more. You ever hear that one? Right? It's only about the immediate family or the immediate friends. It's not about everybody. Even countries want to withdraw from helping other countries, even if it helps themselves at the same time, most of the time, because they can't see how it helps them in their short-sightedness. The great thing about Adonai is that he's all-inclusive. He created all things, inclusive of everything. He loves all things that he created, inclusive of all things. He cares about all things, even including those people who don't care about him or have found an opinion that's opposed to him. There is not one that Adonai does not love, that Adonai does not want included in eternity before him. If you're hearing this message for the first time or have not accepted the blood of Messiah Yeshua to atone for your sin, then you must hear today. He loves and cares for you. Regardless of what you think, regardless of where you are, he loves and cares for you. Even more than what's going on in your life. He wants you to live for him, so that you'll have eternity with him. However, this is a big however, he's unable to go against his own words, his own direction. So when he says that he can't have sin stand before him, in his fairness, he judges all by the same standards. And his judgment can seem harsh. You either are or you aren't. You either accepted or you haven't accepted. If you accepted, you're in his presence. If you haven't accepted, you're outside of his presence, which quite frankly is what the world calls hell. Eternal separation. Now that judgment could and should sound scary. But the atonement of the blood that he shed for us is such a blessing and comfort for those who know and for those who trust. That's how we get through every day. The judgment is for everybody who sins. And the truth is, there's not one who has not sinned. The good news is, there's a way of atonement. There's a way back into his presence. Regardless of how far away you think you are just a turn away from him. Turn back to him, and he is right there. Turn back to him, and the blood he shed 2,000 years ago will cover you for your sins. He is right there. His judgment is scary. His love and mercy is comforting. And that's what he wants all to know about. That's why we're here. That's why we go out into the world and tell others about him so that they can have time with him. not just the time here on earth, the time of eternity when we will be there with him. Amen. Father, we thank you that you have shown yourself to be loving and show yourself to be merciful. Father, help us to understand your words, that when you speak to us about physical things, there's a spiritual truth behind every single one of them. Ruach, help us to see your spiritual truths. Help us to understand that just like circumcision and uncircumcision in the flesh is not the final solution, circumcision and uncircumcision of the heart is so much more important. Ruach, help us circumcise our hearts. Cut off the stony cover so that the flesh is exposed, so that your word can be firmly implanted upon the flesh of our hearts, growing into love, your love for others and for you. Ruach, we thank you that you are showing us your love each and every day, and that you want to reach out to others so they can see your love as well. We just thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for the circumcision of our hearts. And everyone says, amen and amen.